infamous, you heard of us. Official Queensbridge murderers. The mob comes equipped for warfare. Beware of my crime family who got enough shots to share. For all those who want to profile and pose, rock you in your face, stab your brain with your nose bone. You all alone in these streets, cousin. Every man for himself in his land, we be gunning. And keep them show crews running like they supposed to. They come around, but they never come close to. I can see it inside your face, you're in the wrong place. Yo, cowards like you like just get their whole body laced up with bullet holes and such. Speak the wrong words, man, and you will get touched. You could put your whole army against my team, and I guarantee you it'll be your very last time breathing. Your simple words just don't move me. You're minor, we major. You're all up in the game and don't deserve to be a player. Don't make me have to call your name out. Your crew is featherweight. My gunshots will make you levitate. I'm only 19, but my mind is old. And when the things get for real, my warm heart turns cold. Another nigga to see, another story gets told. It ain't nothing really. Ayo, done spark the Philly. So I could get my mind off these yellow back niggas. While they still alive, I don't know. Go figure. Meanwhile, back in Queens, the realness and foundation. If I die, I couldn't choose a better location. When the slugs penetrate, you feel a burning sensation. Getting closer to God in a tight situation now. Take these words home and think it through. Or the next rhyme I write might be about you. Sunday show. Cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. They shook. Cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. Living the life that is diamonds and guns. There's numerous ways you can choose to earn funds. Some get shot, locked down, and turn nuns. Cowardly hearts and straight up shook ones.
Shook ones.
Ain't a crook, son.
He just shook ones.
For every rhyme I write, it's 25 to life. There was so much of guys who trust safeguard on my life. Ain't no time for hesitation. That only leads to incarceration. You don't know me, there's no relation. Queensbridge, and we don't play. I don't got time for your petty thinking mind. Son, I'm bigger than those. Claiming that you pack heat, but you're scared to hold. And when the smoke clears, you'll be left with one and you don't. 13 years in the projects. My mentality is what, kid? You talk a good one, but you don't want it. Sometimes I wonder, do I deserve to live? Or am I going to burn the hell for all the things I did? No time to dwell on that, cause my brain reacts. Front if you want, kid, lay on your back. I don't fake that, kid, you know I bring it to your life. Stay in a child's place, kid, you out of line. Criminal mind, thirsty for recognition. I'm sipping, E and J got my mind flipping. I'm bugging, digging my ways out of hope for hustling. Get that loot, kid, you know my function. Cause long as I'm alive, I'm live illegal. And once I get on them, I put on all my peoples. React quick, spill lyrics like Max, I hit your dome up. When I roll up the beat, go sleep because of free.
Sunday shook, cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. They shook, cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. They shook, cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Scared to death and scared to look. They shook, cause ain't no such thing as halfway crooks. Living the life that is diamonds and guns. There's numerous ways you can choose to earn funds. Some get shot, locked down, and turn nuns. Cowardly hearts and straight up shook ones. Shook ones. He ain't a crook, son. He's just a shook one.
CKLN listeners. It is the 10th of May, 2010. You are listening to CKLN Rude Awakening here on 88.1 CKLN CKLN.fm online and Rogers Cable Box 947. Here on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, we do try and tell you the half the story that has never been told, as we often do here at community radio and at community radio stations around the world.
Great God will come from the sky, take away everything, and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you will look for yours on earth, and now you see the light. You stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, jump, jump.
Pretty much, as Bob says, recruited some heavy hitting talent to assist me this morning in trying to convince you that it's not about whatever fantasies you're sold. Not even saying they're wrong. You know, there's certain fantasies that, you know, that have manifested, and there's definitely a whole bunch of things that we don't know about the world. But the only way you're going to prove, you know, your worth in this culture to anybody else consistently is by doing something for this culture. Now, you can prove things for yourself, and you can just do for you, but you're going to invite haters. And then, you know, if you fall, people are always going to know where your intentions were. And at this time in history, when we need to stand up for our rights more than ever because our rights are under attack, a fairly familiar situation during the Bush administration was quite a concern early on in the Bush administration after the 9/11 attacks in September of 2001, September 11th. But since then, we've gotten used to a lot of this stuff, and we get used to everything, and we just get used to you know, oh, this is the way things are. You know, as you may have heard out there, in Greece, they're rioting. And on today's show, I have a few clips I'd like to play of the economic situation, breaking down Greece, breaking down the stock market, and breaking down what is essentially a financial assault by the powers that be evil who run the world. And so here on CKLN Rude Awakening on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, as your host, BK, a.k.a. Black Krishna. You can reach me, by the way, at blackkrishna@gmail.com. You can check the streaming copies of this show at radio, the number 4all.net, archive.org, and podomatic.com. It's a bit messy out there, but I'm trying to make sure that that at this time in history, people do have a chance to access these ideas, which are not entirely my own ideas. I do tend to editorialize and hypothesize at the beginnings of shows. But you know, these are ideas that have been taken from people like Mr. Bob Chapman, who's an international financial analyst and specialist. He's been fighting the New World Order for 45 years. And so I come along like 5 years ago, and I find this incredible community of people, and I'm like, wow, you know, why aren't they taken, you know, more seriously by more people who are supposed to be working on causes they're supposed to care about? But again, we are listening to Bob Marley's I Shot the Sheriff, and I am an I Shot the Sheriff. I didn't shoot the deputy guy. You know, just passed by a police officer on the north side of Dundas today, east of Spadina, who was just halfway up on the curb with his car. His lights are on, and I'm walking on the north side of the street. And as I walk by him, I give him a little nod. He gives me a funny look. A lot of the cops give me funny looks in the city. Not a bad look, just they just, you know, look at me like I'm nuts or whatever. And it's certainly reasonable to think that. But the bottom line is, the reason I said hello to him was not to get in his face, not to whatever. It was to let him know that, you know, hey, how you doing? You know, that they're putting you guys everywhere. So are we cool? Because if we're not cool, then what the hell kind of country or city is this? And if we are cool, then cool. And if you guys get out of hand, obviously, you know, we're going to call you out. I'm going to get into a little bit of that later. Some stuff happened up at Jane and Finch, where some stuff's happening in the U.S. where SWAT teams are being used, you know, hundreds of times per month in a given state. And it's becoming normal practice. A guy was recently, he had his two dogs shot, one killed, the other one shot, and his family terrorized by SWAT team breaking down his door. And he had less than a gram of marijuana in his pipe. So there are certainly excesses out there, but the culture that allows these excesses to continue is one that's created by the top. Put it this way, nobody wants to get in trouble. Nobody wants to get in trouble. And so if your boss says don't do something, you're not doing it. You're just not doing it. You know, you're not going to risk your job. But if your boss you know, turns a blind eye or promotes people that, you know, have been more aggressive or whatever the standard may be, then, you know, you might be inclined to think that's just the way the game is. Same thing in Iraq and in Afghanistan, those soldiers over there. Well, if you're a soldier and you're just supposed to be a killing machine who's killing all these people for your country and innocent people will die and who cares, then sometimes the most vicious killers are promoted by the top. So again, the New World Order structure is the Anglo-American establishment. They control the banking systems worldwide. They issue money to everybody. We all need it. So they get us all into debt and then force us to pay it back at obscene amounts of interest. And by doing that, they enslave the whole world. So that's the Anglo-American establishment, old European nobility. Now, they are eugenicists. And as eugenicists, they do want to kill us all. And so to break down how we can stop being killed is Mike Adams and Charlotte Gerson. She's going to talk about the Gerson cure for cancer and why it isn't used today.
I see that they're now going to start promoting statin drugs
yes,
for children.
Yes, for children, yes. The trouble is once these children are on drugs, they have to stay on them for the rest of their lives. And that's exactly what they're looking for, a new market with more and more people staying longer and longer on drugs. That's how they make money.
Exactly. Now, we have so much to talk about here, but just in case some of our listeners are not familiar with the Gerson therapy or the Gerson Institute, can you give us a quick brief of what we're talking about here?
Yes. We are talking about a therapy that was developed by Dr. Max Gerson, my father, originally to control his own migraine headaches. And then he accidentally found out that with the same nutritional approach, by giving the body the proper nutrients and making sure it can be detoxified and functioning properly, he found first that it was also effective in overcoming skin tuberculosis. And then after the skin tuberculosis, it turned out that other forms of tuberculosis were also responding beautifully. And then it turned out that when he was healing tubercular patients under the auspices of the major Berlin hospital, when he was healing those patients, they often had other troubles like allergies, and they had high blood pressure, or they had maybe low blood pressure or kidney trouble or other things. And that's when he accidentally, by treating the TB patients, he found out that other diseases also responded and that he was truly healing the body. And that's how he parted company with orthodox medicine.
And what year was this happening?
Oh, sorry. This was 1932. Yes.
Okay.
32. Now, he was supposed to demonstrate these results before the combined German medical group in 1933. This was at the beginning of the year. And he was ready to do that when he found out that they didn't want him to do that. They didn't want this healing. They didn't want to, you know, to heal these chronic diseases that were making so much money. And they began to accuse him even. Can you imagine that? They accused him of falsifying and retouching his lung x-rays. Now, if you just take a tip of a pin to lung x-rays, you know, those x-rays go through so many tissues, you can immediately see it. And of course he wasn't retouching anything, but they accused him. So he decided he needed to show that, no, these were perfectly good x-rays, and he wanted to present them to the top radiologist in Europe to certify that they were accurate and correct and to give his opinion. In order to do that, this man by the name of Felix Fleischner happened to live in Vienna. So he had to take all his stuff to Vienna for just a few days. He packed maybe two shirts and a pajama and, you know, a couple of pairs of socks and his x-rays. And as he crossed the borders, the Nazis pulled all the Jews off the train and started to beat them and kill them. And strangely, by some strange coincidence, he didn't get pulled off the train. And he continued on to Vienna, and he had, this was in front of him. He was supposed to demonstrate his life's work, and the whole German medical group was supposed to be there. It was the ultimate, the aim of his life, but he could never go back because of the Nazis.
This was in the day as well of I.G. Farben.
Oh,
this
yes.
was really
oh,
the
yes.
birth of
oh,
modern
yes.
pharmaceutical industry,
oh,
which
yes.
became Bayer. It became, you know, Glaxo and mm-hmm. Pfizer and all these companies. Mm-hmm. And this, you know what this reminds me of is, this was also the day of Einstein and Max Planck and a revolution in the sciences that took us from Newtonian physics to quantum physics. But that revolution in medicine could have happened at that time, but it was suppressed.
They suppressed it because there was too much money to be lost. They didn't want it. They didn't like it. They didn't want the idea of healing. They wanted drugs and drugging. They medicine is, you know, they train doctors. Doctors are drug pushers.
Yes, and I think of your father, Max Gerson, as the Max Planck of the world of medicine.
Yes.
He should have been heralded as a hero of his time and set off a revolution in healing.
You know something that's very interesting? The guy who discovered the cause of skin tuberculosis got the Nobel Prize. And then skin tuberculosis was incurable. The guy who healed skin tuberculosis was my father. He never got the Nobel Prize.
Right.
And then from there, of course, he came to other tuberculosis, and then he started to treat other chronic diseases. It took a while, an additional, quite a lot of extra study, before he was able to cure cancer, because that, I believe, and he realized, that cancer is the ultimate damage and deterioration of the body's defenses. That's what it is. It's not a genetic problem. That develops later.
No.
It's not, you know, it's not a local disease. So when you first cut out a tumor and you can say you got it, all the patient is cured, not a chance. That's absolutely untrue. That's why it comes back.
So we're talking now for almost 80 years this truth has been suppressed.
Yes.
How do you think Orthodox medicine, how have they been able to pull off this campaign of disinformation and oppression against Gerson therapies?
With publicity. They have huge amounts of money that is the most powerful and the most remunerative industry of all. They have, just imagine what we are paying for Medicare.
Yes.
Okay? All of it is unnecessary. If people just learn how to eat correctly and they have no more pain, they have no more problems, they get rid of everything from migraines to heart disease and ulcerative colitis and arthritis, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're talking about a way that we could, in essence, probably prevent 90% of the cancers in our society and save our nation from medical bankruptcy, right?
Correct.
And yet, in order for that to happen, the drug companies would have to give up profits. The junk food companies would have to lose revenues.
That's the problem.
And they're the ones controlling Washington.
Well, that's really, that's what's controlling our government. And that's why we are having the problem with the FDA, which you know what we are calling it, the Food and Drug Administration. Well, anyway, the problems are so huge because they are so powerful and they are able to suppress little people like the Gerson Institute and the Gerson Therapy and the Gerson Doctors, and they have made laws. Do you know there are laws that started in California and that spread pretty much all over the U.S. that made it illegal to use anything but surgery, radiation, and chemo in the treatment of cancer. And if a doctor or other health practitioner used any other method, God forbid, for instance, nutrition, he lost his license and went to jail.
Back, folks. Movement of job people, yeah. That's right, folks. Just trying to move people away from big pharmacide solutions and having faith in them. As you can hear from that interview with Mike Adams from naturalnews.com and Charlotte Gerson from GersonInstitute.com or Gerson.org, sorry, G-E-R-S-O-N.org, talking about how back in the 1930s, Charlotte's father, or Ms. Gerson's father, Max Gerson, was a doctor successfully curing people of cancer and other ailments with a proper diet technique, which you can see at Gerson, G-E-R-S-O-N.org, as they're constantly working on new health solutions, and yet his efforts were suppressed. And frankly, you know, there are things that we've known for, you know, forever. I was just talking to my mom the other day about, or yesterday, of course, it was Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there, all the moms. What up, moms? Happy Mother's Day. Hope everybody had a great, great Mother's Day. But here on Monday, May 10th, 2010, I'd like to relate to you a little story of what I talked about with my mom, where she mentioned, how two Vishwamitra Brahmins, which is one of the seven sort of Vishwamitra Gotra. Gotra is your lineage or whatever. Where two Vishwamitra Brahmins, of the seven different types of Brahmins, shouldn't marry. Because if they marry, they'll argue all the time. You know, and I'm a Vishwamitra Brahmin. That's my thing. I thought it was Madhavacharya a few years ago when I went to India. If this doesn't make any sense to you, it will in a sec. There's basically seven guys at the top of the Hindu, you know, mythology, power structure, you know, mythology, basically seven sages, and we're each descended from them. So as a Brahmin myself, although I'm not trying to put a name on his face, I really don't, it's not my issue. I'm a Vishwamitra Brahmin. And so I was talking to my mom about a few things, and, she mentioned, oh yeah, you're definitely a Vishwamitra Brahmin because your dad is, and I am. And then she says, they say two Vishwamitra Brahmins shouldn't fight. Or shouldn't marry because they'll fight all the time. But then, you know, before the wedding, before they're deciding, they put a flower on a god statue, and if it falls left, they get married. If it falls right, they don't. It's just all, it's hilarious. And so we were talking about that. And I joked around, ah, that's what happened with you guys, which, yeah, you scrap, but, you know, it's not a horrible thing by any means. But the point is that why did I bring this up? How does this relate to the medical industry? Well, the reason I brought this up is because, you know, when I talked to my mom about that, I told her, I said, listen, you know, if to some people that might sound superstitious, two Vishwamitra Brahmins, two identified members of these specific, you know, lineages from Hindu culture, if they marry, you know, they might fight a lot. And I said, you know, if somebody asks you, what do you mean, why? You just have to say, oh yeah, you know, it's just because we've seen this for the last 5,000 years. And it's the same thing with Chinese traditional medicine, Indian Ayurvedic medicine, tons of natural cures out there before big pharma got into the picture, before vaccines got into the picture, which are horribly dangerous. The original smallpox vaccine or cowpox vaccine was falsified evidence, and basically what happened is he injected his kid, the inventor of it, infected his kid with the vaccine, and the kid didn't get cowpox after a couple weeks. So he said the vaccine worked. Totally not true. The kid was sickly. The vaccine messed him up in some other ways, and he died prematurely. And those are the types of scams Big Pharma runs. Big Pharma runs the scams where they'll say, look, if you're not even sick yet, take this. Take this vaccine so you don't get sick in the future. Now, you don't want cancer, right? And you don't want diabetes, right? You don't want bird flu, right? Nope. You don't want pig flu, right? You don't want man flu. You don't want man, bird, pig flu. New flu. Got to take a new vaccine. And so they have all these incredible scams out there. And that's not just, they don't, I mean, they're smart. They're too smart to just go, there's my money. They actually put crap in the vaccines, poisonous crap in the vaccines. That makes you sicker, so you gotta go, you know, you don't have to, but so you choose to go use them later when you fall sick again from how they've poisoned you. So we're all in this same boat. The New World Order at the top, they are by investigative, definition, globalists. They want to centralize power. They're cultists, they're elitists, they're eugenicists, and they can't help it. Because they've been doing this forever, and they're just in way too deep now with respect to their plans and how far they've gone so far. So what do we do? Well, what do we do? Well, first of all, we got to get healthy, and we got to get out of debt, and we should get into gold or precious metals or commodities if we have that kind of money. But most importantly, get to know your neighbors. you know, get to know what's going on out there and get to know why some of the horrible things may be happening in your neighborhood. This leads us to from one sort of drug war, and that's the big pharmacy drug war on natural cures. Again, go to gerson.org. Two other cures I know about include vitamin B17, Google A World Without Cancer, the story of vitamin B17 for G. Edward Griffin's great movie on vitamin B17. Essentially a vitamin that's in nuts, which are in the middle of fruits. If you crack open a nut, sometimes bears and deer, they'll eat the nuts of a fruit because there's something in there. And also phoenixtears.ca for the story of Rick Simpson, Run from the Cure, the Rick Simpson story, where Rick Simpson, Nova Scotian man, was curing people with ingestible hemp, basically processing hemp himself, giving it away for free, and he had 48 sworn affidavits in Nova Scotia at his trial saying, no, he cured me, man. I written a sworn affidavit. I'm serious. I'm so sincere. So there are many cancer cures out there, but there's a fake drug war going on out here as well. Tons of kids out there with crack rap or coke rap. People need to know the government brings in the drugs, and they need to know the government brings in the drugs so that they can use that as an excuse to set up a police state. Nobody explains that better than Alex Jones.
Years ago, on my local TV show, we did episode after episode of locals who were SWAT teamed where drugs weren't even found, and they would come in and kill a lab that was even chained up in the kitchen. And we went and showed photos of it with his brains blown out and its intestines everywhere, and the cops were laughing in that case, and they fired bullets through the wall that went into the baby crib in one case. And the issue is these police officers have lost their souls. They're getting off on this. Does that mean all police are getting off on it? No. But the issue is the phony drug war gives the Pentagon that's involved in it and the militarized police an excuse to be involved in our daily lives, to knock down our doors, to give them some type of fake jurisdiction. So we're going to play you clips from this video of what they've done, and we'll post the full video shot by the police up in the corner if you want to watch it.
Don't move! You understand? Put your hands behind your back! Do it now! Behind your back!
What is happening?
Search warrant! Narcotic search warrant! Don't move!
Search!
Turn around, right?
Did you shoot? Did you shoot my dog?
Stand.
You shot my fucking dog! She's probably trying to play with you.
Come over here.
She's probably trying to play with
Once
you.
Once we get down, we'll see him in the car.
See, cop?
Yeah.
You have the right to remove silent anything you say.
Let's put her somewhere else for him. She can stay inside beside her.
You have the right to talk to the lawyer and have a question. Why are you being questioned? Do you understand?
We'll take that as a yes. You are on audio tape, as a matter of fact.
That's fine.
Okay, come on. Okay.
You're doing that wrong.
But this is why I'm doing this video. This is why I'm so outraged. This is the key. It has come out in the last 8 years that the Taliban had cut off almost all opium production in Afghanistan, previously the main site of opium that then produces heroin, and that the U.S. government went in and started helping the Afghans grow the opium again. And, of course, the CIA got caught in Vietnam on record shipping opium out. They were caught in 1996. Even the CIA inspector general admitted that most of the cocaine for the crack cocaine epidemic was shipped in. And now in Afghanistan, because Pat Tillman wrote letters home before they killed him saying, look, we're growing the opium, this is wrong, I'm against this war, it's a fraud. Now because all that info's come out and the troops are there being forced to help grow the opium, they've come out in the New York Times and said, yeah, Mohammad Karzai's brother, the president of Afghanistan, is the biggest drug dealer. Yeah, we're letting him grow the opium. Yeah, we're helping him. We've got to do this or Al-Qaeda will get the money. No, you decriminalize it, and then Al-Qaeda, the CIA, they won't have the profit because it's illegal anymore, and it won't have the huge profits involved in it with a black market. But here's the deal. The government ships most of the cocaine in. The only people they bust are those that aren't paying their cut. Okay? The government ships in almost all the heroin. It's more than up 12 times what it was 8.5 years ago when we invaded Afghanistan. Record numbers. Over 90% of global opium is coming out of Afghanistan, and they have Geraldo Rivera there with the Marine Corps commander going, I don't like it, but we've got to help them grow it, and, you know, we're here letting them do it.
The hard part now is governing this province, a province, as you suggest, that has become addicted to opium in many, many ways. That is the principal crop that is being being grown here. The Taliban lend the farmers the money. They are indebted to the Taliban. They have to grow the opium. Now the Marines and their success are, in a sense, a victim of their success, because now the population is, you know, they have these opium fields, and we are tolerating it. We are tolerating the cultivation of the opium, because we know that if we were to destroy it now, the population would turn against the Marines, and it would be a real security risk. Are you watching as this opium is being grown? I know it grinds at your gut. How do you deal with it? What are you doing about it?
Well, frankly, this is part of their culture. So while it might grind in my gut, it's what they do.
I fault the politicians for putting the Marines in this position, you know, where we can't eradicate these crops for security reasons. And
that's the point. They ship it in to have an excuse to bust down your door and build giant prisons. We have the biggest prison population in the world, and no one is safe. I've seen countless reports of, you know, retired CPAs and people when the SWAT team raids the wrong house and kills them, or old ladies, 90-something years old, and they shoot them and kill them. And then you see the cops laughing about it. You see them enjoying it. You see them on this big power trip. And you also have the police raiding real drug dealers and keeping the money, keeping the drugs, seizing their assets, taking cash out of people's wallets on the highway, letting illegal aliens go that have been caught with $105,000 of drugs just last week in Tennessee. The government runs the narcotics business. And they then put you in their private prisons, making license plates and making furniture to then compete with everybody else that's on the outside. So the prisoners are making 25 cents an hour. That drives down wages, just like the illegal aliens do. Mexico is collapsing because of the phony drug war. The United States is going to collapse. And this is pure Nazi Germany, to have men come in your house and kill your dogs because they bark at them every single day in this country, and then just sit there smugly enjoying the power trip from what they've done. Think about it. The troops are over in Afghanistan growing the opium. They're going to come back. Most of them are going to end up being SWAT team people and cops, and then they're going to raid your house for a gram of marijuana. You think about that. 80%+ of the American people smoke marijuana or have smoked it. Most cops have smoked it, but they don't care. They're going to come in your house, kill your dogs in front of your...
We're going to play part two of this when we come back in the next segment. Then Gerald Celente is joining us via video Skype for the radio and PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. But this is their excuse. This is the Pentagon and the military and the government's excuse to make you the enemy. Anybody could have drugs. Anybody could be a terrorist. Anybody could be a child molester. Anybody, except when you look at it, the government's full of the child molesters. It's full of the drug dealers. It's full of the people staging the terror attacks. And we must get the word out that the government is illegitimate and is dealing almost all the major drugs.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That's right. Steer it up. Steer it up. Stir up the pot. We've known for years that the drug war has been a failure. A failure at the very, very least. And so once you know it's a failure, well, what do you do next? Do you just accept that it goes on, and do you accept that it incarcerates more and more people? Do you see the police getting new toys to play with and new SWAT gear and all the SWAT shows on TV? And on this show, which has so far seemed to be about the big pharmaceutical, big pharmacide industry and policing and the drug war, you know, you can see in our culture on a regular basis how many cop shows there have been, and how many shows about doctors and nurses there have been in the last 30, 40 years on television. And Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, excellent site, excellent guy. Little, he can be a little pessimistic. He's so familiar with their plans. He can tell you what they did 1,000 years ago. He can tell you what they did 500 years ago. He can tell you, you know, where they're going to be 500 years from now, when we're all little fetus pods in a matrix powering a giant New World Order computer control machine. If you haven't seen The Matrix from 1999, well, hey, it's worth checking out. But Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, you know, will give you an idea of the bigger themes in our culture. So Jones will do a great job of breaking down what's happening. This guy just got shot. This bill just got passed, you know, and so on. Alan Watt will give you analysis like the reason that they put so many police shows about police and shows about doctors on TV is because those services were supposed to grow into authorities over us as part of the transition from capitalism to communism, which is, you know, sort of what we're all going through worldwide in a global new world order, UN-run, global governance, neo-feudalist communist structure, which is essentially what the people at the top want. They're not capitalists. And so when you see a bunch of Marxists out there and others who are anti-capitalism, keep in mind that a lot of them are working for, whether they know it or not, working for the same group who are basically trying to get us all to destroy the capitalist system, agree to a communist one, and then suffer the same type of communist slavery that Russia suffered and China suffered and Cuba suffers and so on. And there's a lot of glorification of communism out there right now. I saw a guy the other day with a red shirt with white lettering on it, just said communist, walking around. There's the Pravda Bar in the Esplanade in downtown Toronto. And there's a giant statue of Lenin's head with a feminized Mao surfing on top of it as part of a public installation display in Vancouver, according to an article in the Vancouver Sun from December of last year. So just look, Google giant Lenin head in Vancouver. Google giant Lenin head Vancouver statue, and you'll find it. Again, there's a feminized Mao holding kind of like a tightrope walking stick, surfboarding on top of Vladimir Lenin's head, a tiny Mao on top of a giant Lenin head in Vancouver. So that's the communist stuff. But that's the New World Order's plan, it was basically to offer us all these things as part of a social safety net, to centralize them all so they would have very specific rules to operate by, that were increasingly dictated by a corrupt federal government as opposed to potentially less corrupt local governments. And then to have those forces attack us with things like the new Obamacare healthcare bill, which isn't even his. It was written by the insurance companies there. And it basically guarantees big pharmacide profits. It guarantees poor healthcare for higher prices, increasingly higher prices. And it denies the average American access to options. If you don't take the healthcare plan, there are huge fines. And if you do take it, then you can't use natural supplements. And this is also part of Codex Alimentarius, Codex Alimentarius, which is the UN's plan to take over the world's whole food supply. You can go to CodexAlimentarius.net, I believe, or just Google Codex for the official site. They started around 1950 by an ex-Nazi, a former Nazi who did his time, worked for Bayer, then went to the UN and said, hey, would it be a great idea if you controlled the entire world's food? And the UN went, hell yeah. And so they kicked off that plan about 60 years ago, and we're now in the latter stages of it. All countries in the world that were WTO signatories were supposed to be Codex compliant by December 31st, 2009. And if they weren't Codex compliant with the UN's rules to control and regulate the world's food supply, to restrict the use of natural vitamins, herbs, and supplements, and to reintroduce a handful of banned poisons to our environment as well. You can check with Dr. Rima Libow, L-A-I-B-O-W, R-I-M-A is her first name, for more on that. But we were supposed to be Codex compliant, and that may have been one of the, and because people like Senator Elaine McCoy, a great senator who was basically blogging from the Senate floor when discussions on Bill C-6, our version of our country's attempts to implement Codex Alimentarius here. There's parallel bills throughout the world. But she was blogging live from the Senate about how evil this is and how Health Canada is asking for all sorts of crazy powers, crack house style regulation. They basically wanted to be able to stick SWAT teams on natural health supplement and food providers in the same way they would deal with potential, you know, crack houses. And so that was stalled. And so that may have been a big reason why Stephen Harper asked the Queen to prorogue Parliament again for the second year in a row when he couldn't get that part of the agenda through. Because that's how he's going to be judged by the New World Order. It's like, okay, you want to be Prime Minister of Canada and you want the media support and you want the big institutions behind you. What are you doing for us? You know, we didn't give you that job, you know, us big, powerful New World Order people. We didn't allow you to become Prime Minister of Canada and hide your criminality and suppress media coverage of your tyrannical excesses just so you could sit there and twiddle your thumbs. Get this damn bill through and kill some Canadians, Harper! the hell are you doing? And so when he had trouble doing that, he prorogued the parliament. And that's one reason he prorogued it. Anyway, stacked the Senate. And then we're back to where we are now. But, you know, it's neither here nor there. We know all these things, or we could know all these things, or we could tell other people all these things. If you don't feel like talking to someone because people don't feel like talking about this stuff, no problem. Make a flyer. People will think you're too serious to argue with. And you'll just say, look, man, I know this stuff. There's just no point in getting into this if you don't want to get into it. You want to talk, fine. You know, I can talk about these things. But we need to find quicker versions of getting information out there than just trying to satisfy our egos by surviving conversations about these topics. So on that note, Gerald Celente was on the Alex Jones Show on the 7th of May. He's one of the top trends research forecasters in the world. He's going to break down what's going to happen for the rest of 2010.
What comes next?
Here it is. This came out on when it was released in January 13th. The top trend, the crash of 2010. We stick with our forecast. Before the new year begins, no one will be able to deny that the great equity markets have crashed. The currencies are being devalued around the world. Gold prices are well over $1,500. We are sticking with our forecast that the markets will crash before the year is out. And I also want to make this very clear. It's not only going to be a financial crash. It's going to come from a lot of different directions. Our greatest fear, and we've said this when they began the great bailout bubble in March of 2009, is that when all else fails, they take you to war. So our scenario is this, Alex. We're going to see 9/11 magnitude terror strikes happen. When they happen, the last time they happened after 2001, they closed Wall Street down for several days. If you had CDs, you couldn't cash them in. They're financial instruments. This time, they're going to close the banks. And when they reopen the banks, we forecast they will have devalued the dollar. So they'll say, don't worry about it. You'll be able to get your money out. It's backed by the FDIC. But you can't get it out all at once. And when you do get it out, it's not going to be worth a fraction of what it was before. So these are the integrated systems that we're looking at. And I'm saying this so that people take proactive measures now. Don't wait to wake up one day as you did yesterday and see the markets collapse around you. Take proactive measures now. It doesn't cost anything. But if you don't plan for the worst now and the worst happens, then you'll lose everything. If you take measures now and things happen slowly, you haven't lost anything, you've gained.
So what do? Get a lot of our money out of the bank? Most people don't even have any money to get out of the bank. What do? Get some storable food, water, get a second job now so you're ready for what's coming. Warn your neighbors so they'll have some respect for you and listen to you when all this comes true. What do, Gerald?
Well, all of those things. Number one, about the neighbors. Like-minded people forming groups. In the event the worst happens, then you have a strategy and a plan. You can work together. It's the community. Keep your money. Don't spend a dime you don't have to spend, especially on junk and eating crappy food. Cook your own. Make it better. The survival strategies that you talk about with the seeds and the water. Number three, any money that you do have, I keep it in my own hands. Why keep it in the bank? What are you getting from putting it there? You're only taking a risk. Speaking only for myself, I'm a firm believer in gold. 80% of my assets are in gold. And then people, you know, I see these comments and they say, oh, Celente's involved with, you know, gold companies. No, I'm not. I don't take a penny from anybody. So it's only what I do and what I believe, and I've been writing about it for years. And number four, I'm a believer in Second Amendment rights. Make sure you're armed for the worst to happen, because you're going to see violence increase at a very rapid rate. So those are the kind of initial things to consider. Grow your own, those crisis gardens that you talk about. The summer is coming upon us. You can grow all the food you need to feed your family and have a lot left over and put it up for the winter. So anything you can do, that Yankee frugality, let's go back to the things that made this country what it was. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, do without.
Well, expanding on that, I think about my grandfather on my dad's side. He would repair his own equipment. I mean, you talk about MacGyver, and all those old farmers and ranchers were like that. My dad has a lot of those skills. I don't have one-tenth of the skills my dad has. He has probably half the skills his father had. And everybody knew, even in good times, to have storable food, to be prepared, to save money, because they'd gone through the Great Depression. And if we had right at 90% of the public being rural during the Great Depression and being self-sufficient, and still major universities have estimated 17 million starved to death over those 10 years, and now we have 89% being urban and only about 11% being rural, only half of the rural are somewhat self-sufficient in national studies. If we have another meltdown depression like that, nobody's going to be able to take care of you. The government, the banks, they couldn't even help with Katrina. They can't even stop an oil leak. I mean, my God, we're talking about a road warrior situation. And I see the reports where they're laying off half the teachers in some cities, more than half the cops, half the sheriff's deputies. And the half they keep are there in the news being told they're just there to raise revenue and write tickets for the government. So, and I'm starting to see a lot of sheriffs in Texas and Pennsylvania and Ohio say, buy guns. You've got to protect yourself. So we're seeing the veneer of the civilization, the rotten paint starting to peel off.
Yeah, and you said it about in the old days, people knew how to do it themselves. You know, I own a 1994 Audi. I could buy anything that I want to buy. I don't want one of those cars. I don't need all those gadgets. You know, kick the addiction. And by the way, stop wasting your money and going to college and getting a degree in business administration. Now, this is a lot of baloney. If you're going to go to college, only do it for a skill that you can get a return on investment. That's one of the biggest rackets in this country. We talk about the military-industrial complex. We talk about big pharma, big food. It's also the college-industrial complex. This is one of the greatest scams going on in the world. I love it. Oh, my son got a scholarship. Oh, not a full scholarship, a partial scholarship. How much is it going to cost? Oh, only about $20,000 a year. Oh, it would have cost $40,000 a year. Yeah, you know what it's like? It's like going to one of these bazaars in Turkey where they give you, oh, you could buy it for this price. They'll get any dollar that they can get. You're wasting your money, sending your kid to school if they're not going to get a diploma that's going to buy them a job. Stop this nonsense. And put the money to good use. And if you want to get a skill in business administration, start as an apprentice working for somebody.
But that's the way it was done. That's the way it was done. I mean, I read about the founding fathers and then Andrew Jackson. They were all apprentices. That's how they got their law degree. That's how they got their professorship. Is that there were a lot of people that wanted to be apprentices. They only took the people that were smart and willing to work. And that's what built this country was the apprenticeship system.
Exactly. People are wasting. These kids are getting out of college with $50,000 in debt, and they can't get a job stocking shelves at Walmart at 1 in the morning.
Crazy. Them crazy. We're gonna chase those crazy ballads out of town.
And that's right, C.K. Allen listeners. We are back. That was, again, Gerald Celente, C.E.L.E.N.T.E. On the Alex Jones Show from the 7th of May, 2010, talking about what's happening in 2010. And why would you trust Gerald Celente? Well, you know, a quick look here I even tried to do this, but let's try this again. Trends Research. He's at the Trends Research Institute at trendsresearch.com. And forecasts. There it is. It says here, and there's a number of quotes by the mainstream media, if Nostradamus were alive today, he'd have a hard time keeping up with Gerald Celente. And that's from the New York Post. So here's some major trends forecast by Gerald Celente. The Great Recession to begin in 07. His prediction was in January 04. The Panic of 08, the financial meltdown. His prediction was in December of 07. The coming Greatest Depression, December of 08, he predicted that. And on, a pre-9/11 warning. December of 2000, he warned about what would happen in September of 2001. Not specifically, but again, trends, more terror attacks, you know, more economic this, street gangs and this sort of thing. So he's been on this for a while now. Techno-tribalism, the rise in social networking. He predicted techno-tribalism or the rise in social networking in October 1993. And to the best of my knowledge, it didn't really get hot until about, you know, 5 years ago. So Gerald Celente's ahead of the game on these issues. Go to trendsresearch.com for more of his work. But you can see, folks, that some of the smartest people in the world are warning us, are saying, you know, get in gear, get prepared. You know, there's two ways to play this. One is securing yourself, getting your health right, getting your wealth right, getting your mind right, getting your friends right, and so on. And so, you know, that's one aspect of it. The other aspect is what do you do for the community where you live? What do you do for where you're at? Because things are getting crazier here. We heard a clip of the Alex Jones show where he talked about how a SWAT team in the States was sent on a marijuana allegation. So, you know, if your neighbor catches you smoking weed, then it's entirely possible that you could have a SWAT team at your door. As opposed to, you know, first of all, no one should come to your house if you're just smoking in your house and doing whatever in your house. Your house is your cancel. That's just craziness. But if somebody does come, it could be a SWAT team. And with an update on what's happening with the Toronto cops here, this is a story picked up by the CBC, which was first whitewashed by The Star and other papers. I got this from an independent news source, but I can't find it right now, so I'm sorry about that. But I did do a little Googling, and I did find that the CBC actually picked up the other side of this death here. So here's an article from the CBC. Family blames police in Toronto teen's death. Lawyer alleges, quote, he died from physical force. Last update, Saturday, May 2010. The family of an 18-year-old who died on Wednesday night after a brief police chase near the York University campus says they believe police beat him to death. According to a release from Toronto's Police Special Investigative Unit, officers were trying to stop a vehicle on Steeles Avenue West near Founder Road when two people jumped out of the car and fled. One of the people being pursued, Junior Alexander Manon, 18, collapsed and was taken to hospital where he was pronounced dead. The SIU Special Investigative Unit said. But Manon's family and friends who met Friday night in a candlelit vigil outside the coroner's office dispute that version of events. Lawyer Selwyn Peters, who represents the family, said he has spoken to witnesses who allege the police used excessive force. Peters also said he viewed Manon's body and saw what he believed was further evidence that Manon did not collapse on his own. There was blood all over, he had a neck brace on, and his eyes were black and blue. The issue of a heart attack is fiction. It seems he died from physical force. The SIU, the arm's length agency, really according to an independent article I read, staffed by ex-cops, and they haven't, you know, found anybody guilty in over 30 charges that have been brought before them. So look into this more before you just trust the CBC on this. The SIU, the arm's length agency, and those are my quotes, that is called in any time there is a death or serious injury involving police and the public, is investigating the case. No charges have been laid, but an SIU spokesperson said two officers have been designated, quote, subject officers, unquote. Meaning, according to the SIU, officers, quote, whose conduct appears, in the opinion of the SIU director, to have caused the death or serious injury under investigation. Another eight officers have been designated, quote, witness officers in the case. The spokesperson said, meaning they were present but not directly involved in the incident being investigated. And there you have it, folks. I did read an independent article on this, said the kid was in a pool of blood. They made note that running from the police is not a capital offense in this country. You know, you don't deserve the death sentence for that. And so if the police catch you and they're a little ticked off that you tried to run, they shouldn't be able to beat you to death. And yet this does happen. The kid was black. This was up near Jane and Finch. And I'm not trying to whitewash this all. This is horrible. I hope those cops, if they are guilty, are found guilty and go to jail. I hope the cops that are witnesses fess up and say, we can't just have a city where 18-year-olds are randomly beaten to death by the police. And if they want to live here too, then, you know, they have to speak up on these issues. So, you know, hopefully there's some more on that. But just give you an idea of what's happening here. We've been fairly, for a large city, Toronto, the police activity here hasn't been as bad, to be charitable, but it has been bad, to be, you know, honest. And so we do have to clean that up. But again, I shot the sheriff. And if the war on terror, which is really what, you know, all their actions are predicated on at this point, if the war on terror says my job as a cop is to beat your ass, then I might beat your ass to keep my job. Because I'm not losing my $300,000 house. I'm not, me and my wife and kids aren't going, you know, broke. You know, I'm not that well educated. I'm not going to go and just hustle for another job at a pizza shop in this economy. And because there's so much trouble in the world, we do need to have police around. We just need to make sure that they are the ones that we have to make sure that the police institution as a whole is one that we're familiar with, that we're questioning of, that we're supportive of, all in different ways, in different stages. At least IMHO in the modern slave, super humble parlance, out there. But a couple more things to break down for you here. Here we go. So Gerald Celente talked, and I had a clip of Bob Chapman I was going to play today as well. Again, 45-year veteran at the internationalforecast.com on this. But Goldman Sachs is one of the big enemies. They're behind the destruction of Greece and the destruction of most of Europe and much of the world. They're basically one of the main international money laundering centers for the giant financial institutions out there. And most of Obama's cabinet, from Timothy Geithner to Paulson to the rest of these yahoos and criminals, they're from Goldman Sachs. And so I get this article here from publicvalues.ca, sent to me courtesy of Ms. Dee Nicholson, an excellent Toronto-based health freedom activist in her own right, who's got a little mailing list, which is definitely worth hanging out and checking out. Goldman Sachs set to plan sell-off of Ontario assets. Huge and controversial banking firm has a history of playing both sides in privatization deals. That's right, folks. The same people behind the majority of the derivatives trading out there and the collapsing of economies worldwide is now planning on selling off Ontario's assets in another one of those criminal deals signed by, well, our governments. By Ish Thielheimer, Ishtheilheimer, Toronto, Straight Goods News. Ontario's Liberal government has put Goldman Sachs, the huge banking and investment firm being investigated by the U.S. Congress for fraud, in charge of selling off Ontario's public assets. We hired them when they're under a fraud investigation. Oh, McSquinty. You're not, he's not making it. These people are puppets and these people are working for scum, and just don't take them seriously anymore. Not when they're pulling the screen. Not when they've got us here. Not when they've brought us here to an age of crisis and uncertainty and corruption, and just, you don't trust these people, for God's sakes. For your own sakes, although I'm sure God will be happy to. So back to the article. For some reason, the involvement of this ethically challenged firm has to date failed to ignite controversy in Canada. In its March budget, the government announced a plan to raise money by placing Crown assets, including public power, liquor stores, and the Lottery Commission, into a combined fund and sell 49% of it privately. Goldman Sachs, who has specialized for decades in organizing privatizations around the world. Again, private-public partnership, folks, the privatization. Our tax money built everything. Our tax money built our roads, built our water system, built our schools, built everything. And now our government is selling it on the cheap, what we built with our public investment, our tax dollars, selling it on the cheap to private companies around the world. And Mussolini called corporatism the perfect merger of private and public power, public and private power, when the state and corporations work together to basically manage the people. It's not like corporations do their thing and the state works on behalf of the people to be a check on their excesses. It's that they actually work together to manage us. And he called that corporatism. He also called that fascism. And so that's the system that we're currently moving under with the privatization. So Goldman Sachs, who has often specialized for decades in organizing privatizations around the world, often representing both buyers and sellers, is being paid $200,000 to organize a scheme. In the U.S., for instance, the company has supervised the highway privatization deals in which it acted as a financial advisor to the state at the same time as it invested in companies vying for the highways. Ontario NDP environment critic Peter Tabbins is dumbfounded by the company's involvement. Quote, they have proven themselves reckless and unethical, he told Straight Goods News. Quote, why would you trust a firm like this to give you an assessment of the future of key Ontario assets after their role in destabilizing Greece and the world economy? Goldman Sachs secretly lent Greece $3.4 billion CAD or off the book in 2001 to make it seem that Greece's debt was not as bad as it really was, so the EU would agree to let Greece adopt the euro as its currency, leading in turn to the country's current misery. And that's right, folks, and these people aren't stupid. These people who control bajillions of dollars are not stupid, so do keep that in mind. They have an idea of what some of their scams are. But what can we do about that? Well, you know, we can go to places like Infowars.com, where new film Machete by Robert Rodriguez evokes race war. That's right. They have a bunch of Mexican guys going in machetes, killing gringos in this new movie by Robert Rodriguez currently shooting. Crew members are calling the Alex Jones Show. It's filming in Austin, Texas. And of course, he's one of the guys to call about these sorts of things. And high level crew members are calling up Hispanic ones and saying, this is nuts. Like, this isn't going to be good for anybody. Like, if this drives a bunch of Hispanics to go riding in a race war, then a bunch are going to get killed by a bunch of white people, black people, whomever reacting. And this could start off some stuff. So you'll find some of these things. Bilderberg manipulated stock market and crash. The Gulf oil rig disaster. Is it far worse than we're being told? By Mike Adams, again, from Natural Health News. You can find a lot of these articles here at Infowars.com. Also, naturalnews.com. You heard a bit of Mike Adams today with Charlotte Gerson. So definitely check out naturalnews.com for the best health info, trendsresearch.com for the best wealth info, as well as the internationalforecaster.com, torontotruthseekers.com, getting back into business after a little internal turmoil. Apologies for that if you folks were seeing that. But again, we got the G20 coming up at the end of June that we have to activize for. I personally am going flying in about 3 hours with my colleague Brad around Toronto. Should be fun. Should be some good exercise after chilling on the internets for about a week or so, more or less. So TorontoTruthSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com here in Toronto, the Toronto Street News Homeless Paper, the FreedomLink.org, many great groups in Toronto working on things. Do get involved, but you don't have to join a group. You are a group. Whoever you're working with, time to get them hip to these things, because we have to move soon with who we move it. We may have to move soon on these issues with whoever we move with, to parlance it a bit. But that's enough from me, folks. I'm out of here. The People's DJ, David James, is coming up next to spin you 4 hours of the funkiest, illest jazz you will ever find. And so definitely got to stay tuned for that. Amusing little thing here. There are ways to make this fun. From The Guardian UK, a dog that has been seen at nearly every demonstration in Athens over the last 2 years has turned up again during the recent protest against austerity measures. And this is Canelos, the Greek protest dog. So while protesting is really natural, taking to the streets and general strikes and so on in Europe, it's not so much in Canada, but they are trying to make it fun, and we can make it fun too. So let's start conditioning ourselves to the idea. If you're not even close, don't worry about it. If you know your future's at stake, it might be time to get close. To get close to being iron like a lion in Zion. And so here for the 10th of May 2010, Bob Marley, Iron Like a Lion in Zion, is what I'll leave you with.